Call it a political poker game. Call it horse trading. Call it a game of who's going to blink first. All of that is happening in Lansing as the Republicans in the legislature set the stage for a showdown with Governor Whitmer over her 147 line item vetoes. Today, the Democratic governor met with the top leaders from both sides of the aisle from the state House and Senate. Afterward, Michigan Radio's Rick Pluta caught up with House Speaker Lee Chatfield.
We had a productive conversation with the governor today and look forward to continuing the conversation on Tuesday.
When can we expect to start seeing things move? Obviously, there's some time element to this.
So there was a lot of progress made in the conversation today with the governor, and I look forward to sitting back down with her on Tuesday and continuing those conversations.
Well, let us get the latest from Lansing with Rick Pluta, and also with him from MLive, Emily Lawler. So, Rick, quickly, tell us about this meeting today. I mean, how often does this group, the Quadrant, meet?
Well, we should point out first that we thought it was going to be a quadrant meeting, the Republican and Democratic leaders from the legislature, the majority and the minority leaders. But apparently it was just the governor and the Republican leaders who met and tried to reach some sort of, I guess, detente. And they came out of it, you know, using sort of this neutral language that said there were no blow-ups, but we can't say if there was progress or if there was not.
Yeah, productive conversation is about as neutral as it gets. So here we have, we've talked for months about the budget and then negotiations and then the collapse of said negotiations. Then we went to line item vetoes and now we're on to supplementals. Emily Lawler, remind everyone exactly what a supplemental is.
Yeah, so this would put additional money into the current budget year. There are a couple versions of this floating around out there, 20-odd bills on each side from the Republicans, and then also a couple bills from Democrats. So the governor recently referred to these as opening salvos, and, you know, they're setting the stage for potentially a showdown, but potentially just a compromise.
Because what actually has to happen? So, you know, you have your supplemental, restores funding. What has to happen to make that all succeed?
Well, like a regular bill, it goes through the legislature. It would have to get approval from the House, the Senate, and the governor.
So, Rick, since the legislature gave that governor a budget she calls a mess and she whacked out nearly $1 billion from that, how do we describe the positions that she and Republican leaders have taken amidst the fallout from all those line item vetoes?
Well, it appeared entrenched, and a lot of the interest groups, the service providers, the charter schools, the human services providers were not quite in panic mode, but approaching that. And I've actually, because Emily had a chance to grab a few words with the governor today, you should probably fill us in. But
yeah,
it does seem like there may be something of a thaw.
There's a little bit of a timeliness element to this. You know, the governor is really hopeful that these two sides are going to talk on this. Obviously, she did some talking this morning. And, you know, she said she was hopeful that there would be some hustle on this and that they could get something signed as early as next week.
Lots of hope. Rick, break down for us how the Republicans are kind of setting the stage for this showdown with the governor with their supplementals.
Well, they could go for a veto override, but that would require supermajorities, and the votes don't seem to be there. So it's one of the options. And what seems to be, if they don't come to some kind of a deal early next week, that they would do something more like just readopt budget bills and then send them to the governor in the versions that they wanted, and then essentially dare her to veto them again and deal with the fallout again.
And we have certainly heard fallout. Emily, as you wrote about today in MLive, and you just mentioned, we've seen some action from Democrats. Democratic Senator Curtis Hertel, you wrote about, has jumped into the supplemental pool. So what is in his batch of proposals, and explain why he's involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So he has the bill that introduces several of Governor Whitmer's priorities that she had included in her budget that didn't come out in the legislature's final product. Things like additional funding for literacy coaches and a little bit of redistribution about how that funding comes about. And then also a skilled trades program that she's mentioned pretty consistently since introducing her her budget in March. So there's that element. There's some things that the administration characterized as fixed fixes, moving around some money, putting some more money into the Department of Corrections. And then there's actually some overlap with what the Republicans want to see back. I'll use the rural secondary road patrols for some of our law enforcement agencies as an example, is something that there's a Republican bill for, and there's a you can find it in Senator Hertel's supplemental as well.
So,
and we should point out that Senator Hertel matters in this discussion because he's the ranking Democrat, the senior Democrat on the Senate Appropriations Committee. So he's the lead person in the Senate on these things.
So he's riding point on that.
Exactly.
Rick, we have, as you alluded to, fallout. Certainly, we've heard a lot of criticism aimed at both sides, the governor and the GOP legislative leaders, as they each blame the other. One rural school superintendent scolded both sides, saying they're acting like middle schoolers. How sensitive are they to that public outcry and to the heat?
Well, I mean, remember, but there is a critical difference here, which is between the Republicans and Governor Whitmer on this, or the legislature and Governor Whitmer on this. She's the one who actually took out her veto pen and drew the lines through the programs in this budget. And the Republicans said, we sent this to her. She's the one who removed it. And just, in the time between then and now, I've talked to a bunch of people, and I bet a quarter that Emily's had a similar experience where, these organizations, these groups are going, who's on our team?
Yeah, Emily, what are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's definitely a veto everywhere to make some group of people mad. So the governor's dealing with that a little bit, and Rick wins his quarter. I have had some of those conversations as well.
What are the time pressures as they work on the budget? I know, Rick, you kind of touched on there's been certainly a sense of alarm. What kind of time pressures are they looking at until groups really have to start making some very tough decisions?
Well, it depends on which program that you're talking about, and how much money, and which county or which local government you're talking about. Some are sitting on some reserves that could, carry them through on things like road patrols. But, some are, I guess, doing the local government version of living paycheck to paycheck. And so, probably the smaller the county, for example, the sooner they have to deal with the impact.
And I talked to some local counties and townships recently for a story on how the budget vetoes impact rural communities, and fiscal years are sort of all over the place. I talked to someone who's starting in January, someone who's starting in April, but I think there's a little bit of a consensus, at least around the sooner the better, for these local communities trying to gain some certainty and make their own budgeting decisions.
As you both know from working in Lansing and covering the news out of Lansing, politics is so often a horse race. So who's winning? Is it the Republican leaders who were flummoxed last week by the governor's veto pen, or the governor who's been playing defense over her choices? What do you think, Rick?
I don't think in terms of just the raw politics or the horse race, as you put it, I don't think the Republicans feel like they're losing, that, they stood up and basically went nose to nose with the governor. And I think that Republicans at least feel like they've kind of got her boxed into a corner, because she's either got to live with the blowback from these vetoes, or she's going to have to live with it again when Republicans send her, these bills to restore at least some of the line items.
What do you think, Emily?
I'd agree with that assessment. And, I said before that everyone has something to be mad about. So I think that there's a little bit of that at play here. If you're interested in a specific program, say the Autism Navigator, Governor Whitmer looks like the boogeyman a little bit for cutting that one out.
And she supported it.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that the Republicans are hearing a lot from, all these little constituencies add up into a pretty big segment of people that are interested in seeing some of these vetoes reversed.
Rick Pluto, let's talk a little bit of history. Governor John Engler was notorious for being ruthless, even with his own party, to get what he wanted out of the legislature, even if his moves, were seemingly unpopular. So shrewd but effective. Mm-hmm. Governor Granholm labeled a bit of the opposite, maybe kowtowing to her adversaries in negotiations. Where is Governor Whitmer fitting into this picture of executive rule so far, do you think?
Yeah, the Engler style was kind of a, you might feel hurt now, but you'll thank me later. In terms of his approach. And I guess, you know, we've got to do a, you know, it remains to be seen if Governor Whitmer will fall into the same place. But right now, that, you know, there are, in terms of these constituencies that support these different programs, they're on both sides of the aisle. And they're, I mean, you know, you look at services for, you know, some of these services that they affect, you know, Northern Michigan, which has a lot of Republicans. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are people who are angry at the governor all across the state about this, you know, in Metro Detroit, which is also affected by a lot of these line item vetoes. And again, I mean, like, you know, we said before, they're kind of all going, well, who's on our side here?
Yeah, it's we're really watching a learning curve play out with everybody in the state watching, and as you say, people are hurting. Rick Pluta from Lansing and from MLive, Emily Lawler, thank you so much to both of you today for spending time with us on Stateside.
Thanks for
having
us.
Great being with you and great being on with Emily.